Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to Cornerstone Online for just a few more weeks. I'm filling in for Mike this week because he had a crazy week this past week with getting his daughter's wedding ready and all of the details that go on with that. So I told him I'd fill in this week, and we're going to continue with our series in Acts called Unstoppable. And we're talking about our Creator, our God. Mike talked about last week about the Holy Spirit, and we're going to get into more of that this week, talking about how unstoppable the Spirit can be. We all have things at times where we like to splurge on things. That we really like. It might be some people like clothes, some people are into shoes, some people are into fishing, some people are into sports. And some people are even into remodeling projects in their home, which I've been doing a few of during this time being at home. But me personally, I like electronics. I like to learn about electronics. I like to dig into electronics to find out kind of the science behind it, how they work. So I'll research stuff for months before I ever spend a dollar on anything. And then once I get it, I'll spend even more time kind of learning how it works and digging in, finding out, the applications that go along with it, the coding that goes behind it, the science that went into it, and even thinking about the person or people that created that product, whatever it might be. And that's, this week we're going to talk a little about our Creator who created us and used science to create who we are, and also how he steps outside of what we would call science and outside of what the natural realm of what we see with our eyes, and how he can work in a supernatural place. So we've got a lot of scripture to go through, so just hang in there. We're going to be mostly talking about chapter 4 of Acts, but before I go into chapter 4, I did want to talk a little bit about chapter 3. So let's go to Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And it says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." And it wasn't like a look at me, look what I can do. It was just like, "Hey, pay attention. We want to tell you something." And the lame man looked up eagerly, expecting some money, which of course, as he did every single day. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but what I give you is what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then he went from walking to leaping to praising God, and even went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized that he was the lame beggar that they had so often seen at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed in out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. So we see, that there's just this guy that gets put in this place, every single day. Somebody brings him there, somebody carries him there or whatever, to sit there and be able to beg for money because he doesn't have a way to get out and work. And so he's just laying there, and people are passing him by, but Peter and John come by, and things change. This man's life changes in that moment. Peter reaches down and he says, I don't have any money to give you, but just stand up and walk. And he does. He just stands up. Everything strengthens. This man, it talks later in the scripture that this man had been dealing with this for over 40 years. And all of a sudden, everything is popping. Everything works. He can stand up. He can jump. He can move. And he walks into the temple with them. And it goes on to talk about the huge crowd that shows up and the people's reaction to it. And I couldn't imagine like being there and seeing that. It's a person that these people pass by every day. Some of them might give him money. Some of them might not. You know, some people might, you know, put their head down and hope that he doesn't say anything to them. But none of us have ever done that. But just like that, he's up and he's walking and he's praising God for what's happened. And the crowd was even like saying that, you know, Peter and John had done this, and it was how religious they were, and that's what caused this man to be able to walk. But Peter and John, you know, were about to tell them that it wasn't anything they did. It was the Holy Spirit that healed this man. I want to talk about something that just happened last week. It was sad but crazy all at the same time. There was a pastor of a church that I used to go to down in North Carolina. It's a biker church, and this man, like, he preached the word of God like no other that I've seen, just like his boldness. And then there was one day he was out. They have a rehabilitation camp where these guys can come in that have addictions, and they stay there for a few months or whatever. But they were out there just celebrating one weekend. I think it might have been a Memorial Day weekend. I don't remember. But they were playing a game of softball. And he was pitching, and he got smacked in the head with a line drive straight to the head, ended up in the hospital. And the crazy thing is he ended up with amnesia. And it's not like the soap opera amnesia that, you know, their mind comes back. He has not regained a lot of the memories that he had. His mind went back to before he actually encountered God. He went back to his biker days, and like everything was just different. He knew his wife and he knew a few other people, but like he was questioning everybody. He thought like the FBI was tracking him. It was crazy stuff. So he's gone through all that. Well, God has restored all of that. God has brought him back, not his memories, but God has brought him back to the point where he's preaching again, and he's like on fire again. And last week, Monday or Tuesday, he had a stroke. And so he wasn't able to do, I saw it on Facebook. They were talking about how he couldn't do, they do a weeknight service online. And he wasn't able to do it because he had a stroke. He was in the hospital. Well, Thursday or Friday, they post again. He's doing good. He's back up at it. And as far as I know, he's back on the stage preaching this morning, which just blows my mind. And that's, you know, seeing God move. And that kind of brings me to my first point. When the Spirit moves, people notice. You know, and looking at both stories, we see God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit moving and healing and just touching people. And, you know, when we see God do something like that, it changes everything about us. You know, look at the number of people, going back to the story in Acts, look at the number of people that showed up because of this. And think about a time that you've seen God move in your life or just made a miraculous change in your life. Not just, but you've seen him do something miraculous that has changed you or changed somebody's life around you. And you tell as many people about it as you can, right? You don't hold that in. You don't not share that when you see something crazy like that. And I'm sure, you know, the people that saw this man stand up and walk that had been lame for over 40 years, seeing him get up and move, I'd be talking about it. I know that for sure. Now, the downside was that Peter and John were going out and preaching so much that people noticed, and kind of the wrong people noticed. The Sadducees and some of the temple guards started to notice. So we're going to jump into chapter 4 now, starting with just verses 1 through 4 to start. And it says, while Peter and John were speaking to the people, they were confronted by the priests, the captain of the temple guard, and some of the Sadducees. These leaders were very disturbed that Peter and John were teaching the people that through Jesus there is a resurrection of the dead. They arrested them, and since it was already evening, they put them in the jail till the morning. But many of the people who heard their message and believed it, so the number of men who believed it now totaled about 5,000. So the number before was at 2,000 or 3,000, and now it's 5,000 people are believing and following Christ because of what the Holy Spirit did through Peter and John. You know, they did get put in jail, but the thing is that the temple guard, and they couldn't hold him in there. They didn't really have anything to really that was solid that they could say, hey, we're gonna, you know, hold you here for a while because you did something wrong. They couldn't say that. They healed a man. So we're gonna go back into it starting in verse 5. And we'll go into the story some more. The next day, the council of all the rulers and elders and teachers of the religious law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and other relatives of the high priest. They brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, I couldn't imagine like seeing him just like built up and just ready to roar at them with the Holy Spirit, of course, in Jesus' name. But he said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you people and all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, and then the man that God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one who is referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were just ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. So, I mean, they could see the Jesus inside of them and the boldness and the Holy Spirit coming out from what they were saying. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could say. So they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. What should we do with these men? They asked each other. We can't deny that they have performed a miraculous sign, and everybody in Jerusalem knows about it now. But to keep them from spreading their propaganda any further, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So they called the apostles back and commanded them never again to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And again, I could just imagine the tension in the room. But Peter and John replied, do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. The council then threatened them further, but they finally let them go because they didn't know how to punish them without starting a riot. For everyone was praising God for this miraculous sign, the healing of a man who had been lame for more than 40 years. That's a long time to deal with and suffer with something. So they decided, obviously, to release them and let them go on their way and tried to tell them to never talk about it again. But did it stop them? No, of course it didn't. It made them even stronger and even more motivated to share, you know, what God had done. You know, and I'm sure that even built up their faith even more to see God do something through them, see the Holy Spirit moving. But does this story sound kind of familiar? You know, of kind of being trying to be told to stop. You know, Mike kind of hit on that this morning, is that, you know, we've had to stop kind of having the main big church services. You know, I'm not blaming government on this, but I'm just saying like the virus, which is still a very real thing, has come in and kind of tried to shut this down. You know, it's shut a lot of things down, shut some businesses down. You know, it's done a lot, it's changed a lot of things in our lives. And I can imagine like the devil thinking that he has won on this. You know, when all of this started, he's like, oh, churches are going to be shut down. This is going to be a good time. But, you know, honestly, it's shut some things down. It's slowed us, you know, it's slowed down us being able to meet together physically, but it's not stopping the message from going out. You know, we live in an age of technology where, you know, we have something that is generally used. I'm talking about Facebook. That's used for slander or backbiting or, you know, keyboard warriors out there who are more bold with their fingers than they are with their mouth. But we're taking that and we're using it to spread the gospel out and to get the word of God out. And do we keep pressing forward? Of course, because we've seen what God has done. We see what God is doing and we know what God is going to do in the future. And as Mike said, I'm excited for the day that we get to be back together. And yes, things are, will be a little bit different. We got to sit a little bit further apart or whatever, but we get to be together. I can't wait for that new building to be done so that we can get in there and we can feed more people, so that we can have even youth meetings down there, so that we can like teach the word and preach the word and be able to share the gospel or share a meal and be able to talk to people and talk to them about their struggles and what they're going through, and to be able to just love on people. I'm not that we shouldn't be doing that right now. I'm just saying it's going to even give us more opportunities to do that. Because when you give somebody a meal, they're more apt to listen to what you're trying to say. So we're going to go back into Acts again, same chapter, but we're going to jump down to verse 31. After Peter and John had gotten out of prison, you know, they went back to the rest of the church and they were telling them exactly what happened. And you know, they see that the church has grown. And so in verse 31, it says, after this prayer, you know, when they got back, they were praying and praising and just excited about what God was doing and how he was moving. And after this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they preached the word of God with boldness. And to just be in that room and to feel the Spirit moving in that room in that moment and feeling the room shake like an earthquake, you know what I mean? That would be, I would have loved to just be there that day. And to see, you know, the fact that this changed them to where now they are preaching more boldly and getting the word out, and they're not afraid to go spread the gospel. This brings me to the second point. When the Holy Spirit moves, people move. So when the Holy Spirit moves in us, it puts a spark, it puts a fire in us to move. And this reminded me of one of my favorite verses. It's Jeremiah, can't talk this morning, chapter 20, verse 9. It says, but if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in and I can't do it. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit can do within you, is that it puts that fire, that burning, that desire, that no matter how hard we try to, you know, make reasons of why we can't do it, or we try to stop talking, or, you know, persecution might be coming against us from our friends or not our friends on Facebook or whatever, you know, people coming at us, we're bold. We're not afraid of sharing what we've seen God do. And another thing happened in the church as well. Going back to Acts 4:32, it says, all the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything that they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, one of the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. So you see here that like even the Spirit moving changes kind of our atmosphere and what's going on around us. And it puts a desire in our heart to, you know, not just share the word, but even share our things, share our stuff and give to the people that are in need. Now, as we go into chapter 5, though, we're going to move over to chapter 5. We do see another side of folks who did something kind of a little bit different, a little bit wrong, that fell into the trap of greed and pride. So we'll start in verse 1, read through verse 11. It says, but there was a certain man named Ananias who with his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming that it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but you were lying to God. And as soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. And the people around were just the same, would be the same as if I were standing there watching this. Everyone, you know, they were scared to see this. And then some men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. After about 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter asked her, "Was this the price you and your husband received for the land?" "Yes," she replied, "that was the price." And Peter said, "How could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too." Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. When the young men came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who had heard what happened. Now, that story, like, when I was preparing all of this, I was like, okay, where do we go with this? Because you see two people just die from just testing the Spirit. But Ananias and Sapphira probably weren't in the best of place. Either they weren't walking closely to God like they should have been, or some people even believe that maybe they were just pretending to be Christians and they were just kind of in there. But either way, you know, they allowed Satan to come in and convince them that they should hold some of the money back from the land that they had sold. And, you know, sometimes the devil will present something in front of us that looks good, that looks tempting, that looks like, hey, you know, maybe we shouldn't give all, you know, give this money to the church, or that was this case, but it could be anything. But we choose whether or not to fall into that temptation. You know, the Bible says that God will not, there won't be any temptations that he's not going to give us a way to escape from that temptation. So it's up to us whether or not we choose to step full force into that temptation. You know, unfortunately, you know, for them, for Ananias and Sapphira, they had their lives taken for not lying to Peter, but they lied and tested the Spirit of God. And I'm not saying God's going to strike you dead if you know, you do something wrong. My focus is more on, you know, where they might have been in that moment, thinking that it was okay to do this, letting pride and greed slip in. You know, they wanted to take the credit for something good that was being done, instead of giving the glory to God where it belonged. And, you know, the reality of it is that not everyone listening this morning, or whenever you might be listening to this later, is going to be on a mountaintop, is going to be rejoicing in the Spirit every day. I know personally, I've not always been there. And I know, you know, I've talked with some other people in the church that, you know, we struggle sometimes. We go through valleys. You know, right now, you might be wondering if God's listening. You might be struggling to find God's voice in the midst of all the chaos. And you know, you've let doubt and fear come in. You know, you're watching all the different types of social media and the regular media that's out there, and you hear one thing one way, you hear one thing another way, and it all sounds very convincing, but it's hard to say, okay, who's telling the truth? There's this statistic, and there's this one, and there's that one, and you don't know which way to follow, per se, or to know which one's right. And the thing is that when we begin to doubt certain things, the devil can slip in and he starts to make us doubt other things, you know, and it can even get to the point where, you know, all of this fear around us that's trying to be pushed on us can make us doubt God. And that's, you know, that's the last place we need to be. So when I started to write this message, I began to think about the retaining wall that we had behind our house for the past few years. And I've got some pictures that are going to pop up here in a minute. But since we moved in, we knew it was cracked and that it wasn't in good shape. But we figured, you know, that it would hold for a little while. But in the past year, you know, we've seen it like starting to crack more. It was like half of it was good and half of it started to lean, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. And it was about a 4-foot high wall. And it had, our yard kind of slopes up behind it, or it did, but it didn't have any rebar in it. there was just nothing holding it back. And so after a bunch of pressure over the past few years and rain and ice getting behind it, you know, it kind of crushed and started to crumble a little bit. Well, we have a friend of ours that came in with a track hoe and we rented a concrete saw and we cut up the wall and he pulled out all the pieces and he busted up the wall. And then that was last weekend. And we knew that the rain was going to be coming, that we were going to get the crazy amount of rain that we got last week. And so he took the ground and he reshaped it and made it to force some of the dirt away from the house so that when the rain came, you know, the mud and the dirt wouldn't push down and kind of, you know, obviously come into the house. And hopefully in the near future, we're going to be able to build it's going to probably take a couple of walls to get all of that dirt kind of held back. So it'll be kind of better than where we started. So hopefully by now, me talking about this, you've kind of figured out where I'm going with this point. You know, in life, we have pressure that builds up. We have the stress of just normal life, let alone what's going on now. You know, we've got our kids at home. You know, some of us have to work from home. You know, we've got different things that are just piling up. And, you know, sometimes in our walls, we see stress cracks start to form, or sometimes it just becomes really big cracks. Sometimes it just crumbles apart. And the thing is that when we start to see those stress cracks in the beginning, that's when we need to be calling out to God. But sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we brush it off. Sometimes we don't pay attention to it. And we let it crumble. We let it fall. Well, then God comes in. We have to call out to him. We call out to God, and God comes in, and he's willing to take his spiritual track hoe and his spiritual concrete saw and try to, you know, he fixes everything. And sometimes, I picture God like with saws and track hoes coming out of his hands, but that's just me thinking because I have a weird mind. But we see him, and he's willing to break apart what's left. And sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes we have to just demolish what we know, demolish what we have, demolish what we think, and allow God to take that, move it aside, get rid of it, and then he'll come in and he'll reshape the dirt. He'll remold everything to help you to see when the rain comes, when the storms come, when the erosion starts to come in our life. He starts to rebuild that to where that stuff just runs away. And then again, if we allow him, he'll start to build a wall. And it's not like the negative form of building a wall against something. It's a positive wall. It's a God reinforced type of wall, to where that when that stuff comes, that's just going to hit the wall. But the only way that we can have that happen is if we are in our word, if we are praying, if we are praising in a daily type of reoccurrence. So that way, like God is willing to help us to be able to keep the junk out and even keep the pressure from building up. And he knows, you know, he knows when the rain is going to come. He knows everything that's going to come against us, but he's ready. He's willing to help us. We just need to rely on him and he'll come in and he'll cut out all the noise. He'll cut out all the noise of this world. He'll cut out all the noise that we put ourselves into with looking at everything that's going on around on the news and in the media of everybody trying to make us fear, because fear doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil who is seeking to kill us and destroy us. But he comes in and saves us. And that leads to the final point, which is when the Spirit moves, walls fall down. And sometimes it's like I said, sometimes it's a falling down in a way that God is removing that wall so then he can build something brand new for you. But the question is, where are you today? Are you at the top of the mountain? Are you down in the valley? Are you resting in the reassurance of him building the wall? You know, anywhere you're at, or some of us are even piled over. We've let the wall crumble and we've let the dirt just pile over us and begin to suffocate us. But wherever you are today, we need to be reaching out to God so that whether you're stuck in suffering and suffocating, or even when you're on the you've seen something recently and you're in that Holy Spirit moment, that doesn't mean that we need to stop talking to God and having that daily conversation with him. So I'm going to invite the praise team back up, and we're going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us to be here in this place this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this story about Peter and John and how when your Spirit moves, we get the opportunity to see people's lives change, to see a restoration in that man's life that was lame, Lord. And I pray that today that you would restore us, that you would come in and heal our hearts and heal our minds, Lord, and help us to rebuild everything. Or even if things are strong right now, Lord, that we just keep them reinforced by staying in your word and by just having daily conversations with you. Lord, I pray that you would just be with each one of us this week and in the following weeks, as we get closer to being able to get back together, as we get closer to the end of this just virus that has taken over and swept over this country and this world. And I pray that we call out to you to remove all the noise and the fear that is coming, and that you would restore our hearts, Lord God, for restoration of just everything, Lord, the backbiting, the trash talking, and everything that goes on and the different social media platforms, Lord, I pray that you would help to heal us and for us to speak words of love to people and be willing to lend a helping hand when we see somebody that can't walk. Lord, we just love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Christ's name.